doing a piece written for trumpet, piano, and strings. And it's a little bit of an unusual piece. And so our trumpet player, who my colleague Richard Rooley in the music department of the University of Arkansas, is the person playing the trumpet and is all ready to talk about this piece.
Well, now we have a cellist here saying it's a bit of an unusual piece. Does the representative of the trumpets agree?
Well, yeah, I would say I'm glad to be here. Yeah, and it is a bit of an unusual piece. It's an important piece in the repertoire, and I did some research getting ready to play it and to talk about it. Of course, you'd like to know what's going on with the piece. And Saint-Saëns was, lived in Paris at the time and was cohorting about with many different types of people. And one of his acquaintances at the time was a man named Émile Limon, and Limon had a chamber music society that he sort of whimsically, I don't know if you know this or not, he whimsically called the society La Trompette.
I did not know that.
It was sort of a joke. I mean, it wasn't because there's a lot of repertoire, chamber music repertoire at that time especially, to be played. So it was sort of a joke. And the society was formed in 1867 by a group of engineering students from the Imperial Military Academy in Paris.
Engineering students.
That's right. And it's not so uncommon, especially in France, but as we all know, in Russia and in the Prussian countries, this tradition of amateur chamber music players. And Stephen's nodding his head because like most, the society started in people's homes, and it was just sort of grew in popularity by these amateur musicians who were actually engineering students, because after all, you couldn't make your living as a musician, right?
Right.
Some would argue that you still can't. So this was started by this group of students, of which Limon was one, and then it continued after they all graduated, became larger and more popular, and started to encompass many of the most popular musicians in Paris at the time, and including people like Saint-Saëns. And he started to not only go to the concerts but actually play in them, and it became less of a sort of informal and more of a formal concert sort of thing, in public concert venues away from people's homes. So anyway, back to this piece, the Septet in E-flat. Limon had been after Saint-Saëns to actually compose a piece for trumpet for a long time, and it was sort of a big joke. And I have a couple of quotes. At the time, Saint-Saëns would say, "I would rather create a work for guitar and 13 trombones than write a piece for trumpet and strings," which is pretty crazy, you know.
Right.
That sort of shows Saint-Saëns' attitude toward it. So finally, in 1879, he wrote a piece called Preamble, which actually became the first movement of this piece, and gave it to him as a Christmas present, to Limon as a Christmas present. Turned around in January of 1880 and performed the first movement of the piece. Well, Saint-Saëns went to the concert, and he was just delighted by it. He was so pleased by the mixture of trumpet in that setting that he finished the work.
Despite his earlier reservation about the trumpet.
And in fact, in 1907, he wrote, When I think how much you pestered me to make me produce against my better judgments this piece that I did not want to write and which has become one of my great successes, I never understood why until he heard it. So he regarded it later as one of his great successes in his whole chamber music repertoire, which is sort of an astonishing compliment.
I was going to say, they're really... this is the first time Rich has played on this series, and one of the reasons is that there isn't a lot of chamber music kicking around for a trumpet with non-brass instruments, let's say. Wonderful all-brass instruments. I mean, great stuff. And there's a lot of 20th century things, of course, that involve trumpet or cello or whatever instrument you might choose to do. But this is one of the few things before the 20th century that I know of that uses trumpet and all these instruments. And so it's a really, in that sense, it's an absolutely unique as well as unusual piece. Yeah.
Given those unusual surroundings, is the music for the trumpet in this piece different than what you might play in other pieces?
Well, from that repertoire, yes and no. I mean, from this time period, yes and no. You have to remember that the valve, as we know it, the thing that causes or enables the trumpet to be chromatic – was invented around 1815. It's very hard to pinpoint a date because of a lot of things, geography. I mean, what was going on in Paris maybe was different in Vienna and was certainly different than in London. And so all of these guys were doing different things. And so what became the standard valve was attributed in Paris in 1815, around 1815, ironically, to the inventor of the saxophone, Adolphe Sax, among others, helped develop a guy named Pironet, developed the valve. So Paris was sort of the epicenter, but a lot of other things were going on. This piece is sort of interesting, and I guess it's not surprising. The first movement especially is using the trumpet more in the way that people were used to it being used, more not really playing too much chromatically, more in trumpet calls, you know, that sort of thing that you might hear in a Haydn or a Mozart symphony. Even though we're talking about 1880 and the valve was developed way back in 1815, it took a long time to perfect and get it to be in tune and have a consistent sound. And oh, by the way, develop the technique for the players to be able to even play it.
Yeah, they were not mass-produced after all.
No, not mass-produced. It depended on where you were. The technique had to be developed. The strings were, even at this point, strings have been around for a couple hundred years. So the technology, the ability of the players was way beyond that at the trumpet. So even by 1880, you're still talking about something in real terms that was sort of prehistoric.
Well, this sounds great. There's also some Schumann on the card.
Yes, a very well-known piece in this case, the Schumann Piano Quartet. Again, I didn't know the Saint-Saëns was in E-flat. Mm-hmm. But so we have a whole program of E-flat, so is the Schumann.
Uh-oh. Maybe we should transpose something out.
The Schumann, probably a lot of people will know. It's he wrote three piano trios, violin, cello, and piano, and then this piano quartet, which adds a viola to that, and then a very famous piano quintet, which adds a second violin to the piano quartet. And so this is just one of his, well-known chamber pieces with piano. I mean, he wrote sonatas for violin. He wrote some string quartets. But as far as I know, except for some other more minor pieces, we have the three trios, the piano quartet and the piano quintet. It's a very, very beautiful piece, you know, with just the quirkiness, the really wonderful quirkiness that one associates with Schumann is there. The beautiful tunes are there. The virtuosity in the piano is also there. And it's an awful lot of fun. And I think, although we're within the same century here, I think it's going to pair very nicely with the Saint-Saëns.